Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Sidebar Chats. I'm Claire McKenna, senior writer and researcher with BAR, and today I'm joined by Katie Bialy, senior consultant with BAR's cyber risk advisory practice, to discuss common SOC report exceptions. SOC report exceptions can happen more frequently than many realize, so let's learn a little bit more about what they mean and how they can impact the overall report. So Katie, let's get started. What is an exception in a SOC report?
Yeah, so an exception in a SOC report is just an instance in which there is a deficiency in the design or the operating effectiveness of a control, or there is a system description misstatement. So there are three different types of exceptions that can happen in a SOC report, and I'll just walk through those three now in a little more detail. So the first is just system description misstatements. So a misstatement is an error in how an organization describes its systems. So just as an example, if you claim or BAR's clients claim that all employees undergo security awareness training, and you say that in your system description, but your organization actually doesn't require security awareness training, then that would be a misstatement within the system description. I've actually never seen this happen with any clients I have worked with, so I just wanted to note that it's not really common. The next type of exception is a deficiency in the design of a control. So this is when a control is ineffective because it wasn't properly designed. So just as an example, if you have a control that a vendor risk assessment is performed by looking at your vendor's attestation reports, but in reality, the process is to perform the assessment by only looking at vendor websites, then this would be an exception of design of a control. This is not as common because BAR works with our clients during the readiness assessment process to really make sure that controls are properly designed. The last type of exception, the third one, which is a deficiency in the operating effectiveness of a control, this one is probably the most common type of exception that I'll see. And this is when a control doesn't operate properly or as it is expected. So just as another example, if you have a control in place that terminated user access to any of your in-scope systems is removed within, let's say, one business day. If there's a user that BAR selects that has access removed to an in-scope system, let's say 1 week after their term date, then this would be called out as an exception in the operating effectiveness of a control. Again, this is the most typical type of exception that I see.
Great. Yeah, thank you for providing those examples. That was really helpful to understand each different type of exception. So that kind of, my next question is really, how common is it for SOC report to list exceptions?
Yeah, that's really a great question. So as I said, the first two type of exceptions that what I went over, system description misstatements and deficiency in the design of the control, it isn't really common to see those type of exceptions. But the third type that I discussed, the deficiency in the operating effectiveness of a control, this type of exception is more common. So I will say that typically with companies who have a less mature cybersecurity program, so let's say a startup or a company that's growing very rapidly, I will tend to see more exceptions for those type of clients or companies. But that being said, even companies who have mature cybersecurity programs, so maybe a larger organization who has gone through the SOC audit process many times, sometimes even with these larger organizations, they might have an exception, especially if a report is covering a one-year period of time. So just as an example, I mean, security awareness training is something that's always tested during a SOC audit. if you're a company of, say, 500 people and BAR tests a sample, or in other words, we take a selection of a certain employee and say that one sample did not have security awareness training completed, then we would have to call that as an exception within the report. So you can see it can be very easy for just one employee to be overlooked at larger organizations, especially if that company isn't using some kind of compliance tool, like an automated tool to track things like security awareness training. So,
got it. Yeah, thank you for that example too. That's really helpful. My next question is, so Katie, you're an auditor. How do exceptions impact an auditor's opinion?
Yeah, another really great question. And I think it's one where there's maybe a little bit more confusion. So I think it's something good to clarify. So whether or not an exception impacts the opinion really depends on the number of exceptions, the severity of the exceptions. And before I get into the impact on the opinion, I just want to say that the opinion, the auditor's opinion, is listed in section one of the SOC report. So SOC reports have four or five sections. Section five, if the client wants to put any additional information there, or there's exceptions. So section one is where the opinion goes. And so this opinion can be listed in four different ways. One opinion, which is the most common type of opinion that we write, is an unqualified opinion. And this just means that the auditor, or say BAR, that we didn't find any material issues during the audit. This is the opinion that service organizations, or you could say BAR clients, that they strive for. And you can still have an unqualified opinion and have exceptions. So I just want to note that as well. Now, the another type of opinion that we can say is a qualified opinion. So this can happen as well. Again, not as common, but I have seen this. Qualified opinions indicate that the auditor or BAR found material issues with the report, but that the scope of the issues was limited. So I'll just give an example here. For example, maybe there's just issues around testing of changes, and this results in change management criteria not being able to be met. So if there are exceptions that result in criteria for SOC 2 or objective SOC 1, if those aren't able to be met, then this could result in a qualified report. The next type of opinion that is possible is an adverse opinion. And this is when the auditor BAR believes that there are material and pervasive issues. So report readers should not rely on the vendor system if the auditor BAR is issuing an adverse opinion. So this, for example, could be if there's issues around not just change management, but let's also say logical access and risk management. So many different criteria. Not very common, but again, it is possible. And the last opinion that we can issue is a disclaimer. And this is just that the auditor is unable to express an opinion due to insufficient evidence, and the possible effects could be both material and pervasive. So, yep, those are the different opinions and how exceptions can impact those opinions.
Got it. Thank you for that. Kind of building off that a little bit, what do you do when you find an exception?
Yeah, so another great question. If I find something, some evidence during my testing that looks as if a control is not designed appropriately or operating effectively, I would first just inquire of the client about the issue. So it is often that a client has an explanation for the issue that I see or that I bring up. So as an example, I worked with a client who was using an automation tool to track their vulnerabilities. And this vulnerability, this automation tool was showing that some vulnerabilities were not resolved within the time period that they should have. So I brought up this issue to the client and they let me know that those vulnerabilities were just not tagged with the correct severity level. So it was just showing incorrectly that the resolution times were not being met. So in this case, I made a process improvement to the client about tagging severity levels on vulnerabilities, but it ended up not being an exception because of the client's explanation. Now, in some other cases, I might inquire of my client about an issue and it's actually confirmed that something was not designed or operating effectively throughout the period, if it's a type 2 report, so that's covering a period of time. A common example of this that I see probably most often is password configurations. So a client has a password policy that mandates certain requirements, but those requirements are not enforced by configurations within a certain system that's in scope. So in cases where something does look like an exception to me, and I've confirmed with this with the client, I've looked at the documentation, then I would go back to the internal team at BAR, so a manager or other people I work with, just to confirm that my findings are accurate. And then I can determine the impact on the criteria, if it's SOC 2, or the objectives, if it's SOC 1, that this control helps to meet, because there potentially can be an effect on the opinion, as I talked about earlier. So I just want to make sure that an exception is not going to result in an unqualified opinion, or if there's multiple exceptions, that it's not going to result in an adverse opinion. And then from there, we can determine if the exception would result in a qualification of any criteria, as I just previously mentioned. And then as soon as possible, I would bring these findings up to the client and just really let them know the impact on the report. So will this have any impact on the auditor's BAR's opinion? These are really important things that I think the client should know about.
Great. Thank you for that answer. That was really insightful. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. You were discussing the different sections of a SOC report. So which section of the report lists exceptions?
Yeah, great question. So as I said earlier, there's either four sections or five sections within a report. So in section 4 of the report, the controls that are being tested are listed out there. And any exceptions that we note from the controls that we tested will be included there. Now, in section 5 of the report, if there are exceptions, we will also list them all out together in one list. And then the client has the ability to respond to each of the exceptions.
Great to know about that. That kind of leads to my next question. So what should an organization do when they do have an exception in their SOC report?
Yeah, so an organization should use exceptions as opportunities for improvement, and working with a cybersecurity partner like BAR can help the organization to understand and address the exception. BAR highly recommends that our clients resolve exceptions within the period so that they're able to talk about the remediation in the management response to the exception, which, as I spoke about earlier, is within the section 5 of the report.
Great. Okay. Awesome to know. I just have one more question for you, Katie. Everything has been so insightful. So you're the expert. Is there anything else that you think organizations should know about SOC report exceptions?
Yeah. So I believe that utilizing automation tools and monitoring and alarming mechanisms can really help to make sure that organizations are staying SOC compliant throughout the audit period, if it's a type 2 report, and reduce exceptions. So for example, if you have a tool that alerts you when you need to do your, let's say, annual policy review and that approval, you are so much more likely to stay compliant than if you just try to remember yourself. So having these tools and these automated alerting systems can really help you to make sure you stay compliant. But although this is true, you can use these automation tools, there is still a human element to making sure that organizations stay compliant. So most compliance automation tools do not fully integrate with all of a client's in-scope systems in their SOC report. So if that's the case, then like a human will still have to manually check to make sure, let's say, in-scope system password configurations are in line with password policy. Again, that's just one example. But all of this just to say that there are definitely ways to help monitor compliance and reduce exceptions in SOC reports. But it's really not uncommon for exceptions to happen.
That's really great advice about utilizing automation tools. That was my last question. So, Katie, thank you so much for all of your valuable insight on what organizations need to know about common SOC report exceptions. This information will definitely be very helpful for our clients. And we just want to also thank all of our viewers for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing everyone next time on Sidebar Chats.
Thanks, Claire.